Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. That's right, hold on tight, because it's going to be a bumpy ride for the next 2 hours. Fasten your seatbelts. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine. It's a podcast like all the others. So thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Without further ado, let's dive right in to juicy goodness. Quote, this was the worst call by far, unquote. Trump bad graded, that's not a word, bragged and abruptly ended phone call with Australian leader is the headline of the week. This is the week, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. I don't want to call it a fallout, but a misunderstanding between Australia Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and President of the United States Donald Trump, who has only been in office for 2 weeks and is already starting to cause a little bit of a problem with allies. So basically, here's how this breaks down. The phone call took place between Mr. Trump and Mr. Turnbull to call into question a refugee settlement deal. Now, basically, we'll get to audio, we'll get to more of the crux of the detail, but to refresh your memory, Mr. Turnbull and former President Obama basically rammed a deal. Actually, no, Mr. Turnbull rammed kind of, wasn't really an executive order per se, but it kind of was in that sort of vein of executive order type mentality. So Mr. Turnbull hurriedly drafted up this refugee resettlement deal, which was to resettle up to 12,000 refugees that were staying in detention centres in Australian waters. Forgive me, I don't have the exact details of the locations. That's all I have here. They weren't on the mainland of Australia. They were in kind of different areas around the place, prioritising women and families for women and children, and then the family unit third, then men had last priority in that deal. Obama agreed to the deal with Australia, and now Trump is basically calling into question the deal that was made. So the Washington Post reported that Mr. Trump had the conversation the worst by far, quote-unquote, in Mr. Trump's words, of his calls to world leaders that day, and to cut it short. Mr. Trump later tweeted that he would study the deal in greater detail. The world is getting its first look at Donald Trump, the diplomat. He looks a lot like Donald Trump, the candidate, Donald Trump, the businessman, Donald Trump, the reality TV host, wrapped in one nice little package, according to BBC. Which, that is such a British thing to do, by the way. Wrapped in one nice little package. Australia has controversially refused to accept the refugees, most of whom men from Iran, Afghanistan and Iraq, and instead holds them offshore detention centres on the Pacific nations of Nauru and Papua New Guinea. Alright, they were in Nauru and on another island. He's brash. He has a temper. He is willing to say impolite things. He can be bullying and interrogating and depends on his own internal calculations. We're going to hear both sides of the story now, like a true mediator. We're going to hear both sides of the tale here. Here is Mr. Trump being unapologetic on the phone call that was made on
the world is in trouble. but we're going to straighten it out, okay? That's what I do. I fix things. We're going to straighten it out. Believe me, when you hear about the tough phone calls I'm having, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. They're tough. We have to be tough. It's time we're going to be a little tough, folks. We're taken advantage of by every nation in the world virtually. It's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen anymore.
That was Mr. Trump on quote-unquote tough phone calls. Now, before I continue, I just want to say this one thing. I just want to say, don't worry about tough phone calls. Don't worry about me hanging up on people. That's just what I do in my spare time. Okay, first of all, I do apologize. It is raining quite heavily here, locally, on and off. So we are experiencing some localized flooding here locally. So I do apologize if you do hear rain in the background here at the Radio Ranch. But second of all, that aside, second of all, don't worry about me, you know, having a tough phone call with one of my allies. We're just fighting. That's just what we do. Yeah, people are, 9 times out of 10, if people tell you not to worry about something, they're going to worry about something, because that's just how we think. People's brains want closure on things. So when Mr. Trump says, don't worry about tough phone calls, people are definitely going to worry about them. Just want to put that note out there. Here is Mr. Turnbull on the Trump call that happened over the last week. Here it is. It's coming up. Here, having some problems. Why is nothing working today? You know, if I was a professional and had a producer that did things for me, I would have all of these at the ready. But anyway, I don't, so my mouth is a little bit too quick today to... Okay, that doesn't seem to be working. Here is Mr. Turnbull on the tough phone call. That is weird. Okay. Meanwhile, we'll get back to that, I'm sure. So, Mr. Trump, after the phone call, now I'm a little nervous. Why is that not working? Okay. Anyway, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. Okay, so, and I'll get in. Oh, here we go. Mr. Trump spoke with the Australian Prime Minister.
I've seen that report, and I'm not going to comment on the conversation other than to say that in the course of the conversation, as you know, and as was confirmed by the President's official spokesman in the White House, the President assured me that he would continue with honour the agreement we entered into with the Obama administration with respect to refugee resettlement.
Was President Trump upset with parts of the conversation?
Look, thanks for your inquiry, but I'm not going to comment on these reports out of the United States about the conversation.
The details, Prime Minister, but I think the Australian public would be interested in your relationship with our most important partner. Did he hang up the phone to you earlier than you expected?
Look, I'm not going to comment on these reports of a conversation. Australians know me very well. I always stand up for Australia in every forum.
This report says some pretty incendiary things, like that he said it was the worst conversation he'd had for that day, and he asked you if you were going to try to export the Boston bombers. I mean, do you have a comment on that?
Look, I'm not going to comment on a conversation between myself and the President of the United States, other than what we have said publicly, and you can surely understand the reasons for that. I appreciate your interest, but it's better that these conversations are conducted candidly, frankly, privately. If You'll see reports of them. I'm not going to add to them.
What do you say to Australians that are going to be reading this report right now about our special relationship with the US that seems to be undermined by Donald Trump's language towards you and the fact that he may have hung up the phone on you after 25 minutes?
Well, I'm not going to... I can assure you the relationship is very strong. The fact that we received the assurance that we did, the fact that it was confirmed, the very extensive engagement we have with the new administration underlines the closeness of the alliance. But as Australians know me very well, I stand up for Australia in every forum, public or private. I can only say, as I've said before, that I received the assurance that I did from the President himself. That assurance was confirmed by the President's spokesman in the briefing room of the White House. That's, and our officials, our respective officials, are continuing to work on the implementation of the arrangements. That is, that's the position. Look, my business is being the Prime Minister of Australia. That's my job. My job is to defend the national interest of Australia and to defend the interest of Australians. You may wish to speculate about policies and politics in Washington. That's not my role. My job is today and every day to stand up for Australia, and that's what I do.
That was Malcolm Turnbull, Prime Minister. I do apologise for the production failures on my part there, talking to a press junket about the phone call that took place between Trump and Turnbull. Turnbull there saying that he would stand up for Australia in every forum, be it public or private. Here's what we know about the phone call. So, the phone call between Mr. Trump and Mr. Turnbull took place on Saturday and was one of President Trump's four phone calls that he had to make that day, including Russia's Vladimir Putin. The Washington Post, who we are referring to as well, that's where that audio ended up coming from, quotes US senior officials briefed on the call, saying that the conversation should have lasted about an hour, but was abruptly ended after 25 minutes by Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump was the one that ended the phone call. Mr. Turnbull was seeking assurances from Mr. Trump that the deal would be honoured. The US president reportedly accepting the refugees would be like the US accepting, quote-unquote, the next Russian Boston bombers, excuse me, wow, who were from the Caucasus region of Russia. Wow. Rough, much. The official version of the call from the US was brief, but both leaders had, quote, emphasized the enduring strength and the closeness of the US-Australia relationship, unquote. Ooh, what is the official version of this call? Readout of the President call with the Prime Minister for immediate release. President Donald J. Trump and Australia Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull spoke on the phone for 25 minutes today. Both leaders emphasised the strength of blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's not... Tell us something we didn't know. Okay, so here we go. Where are we here? US presidential spokesman Sean Spicer said Mr. Trump intends to uphold the deal, but Mr. Trump's tweet on Wednesday, coming after the Washington Post story, has thrown fresh doubt in the arrangement. He tweeted, "Do you believe it? The Obama administration agreed to take thousands of illegal immigrants from Australia. Why? I will study this dumb deal." Mr. Turnbull later said that he was disappointed that the details of the call, which he described as very frank and forthright, had been made public. He told a radio station in Sydney, that the report that the president hung up the phone is not correct. So there you go. It has, and all jokes aside, it has kind of put a crack in the US-Australia relationship this has. And it's unfortunate that this crack now exists between the two leaders. Wanna play this for you. It's another piece from the Washington Post.
The U.S. has a very tight relationship with Australia on military issues, on economic matters, and especially on intelligence issues. Australia and the United States are part of a group. Known as the Five Eyes, and this is a really tight inner circle of intelligence cooperation. All of these countries share extensively what they learn from their intelligence services with one another. They generally refrain from spying on one another, and there are lots of American allies, including France, that would love to be part of the Five Eyes that are not allowed in. So that tells you a little bit about how special the status of Australia is. Been intact for many, many years and through many, many administrations. I think that it doesn't help U.S.-Australian relationship, but whether it has the potential to cause really lasting damage, it's really not in either nation's interest to do that, so it seems unlikely.
That is a reporter from the Washington Post there talking about the Five Eyes, the five major, I would call them major powerhouses in terms of the First World, Australia and New Zealand and the US, Canada and the UK are known as the Five Eyes, kind of all looking out for each other. They're all playing the older brotherly role to each other. They're all looking out for each other. And I think, me personally, and there's a piece that we have next hour that kind of goes through this and in greater detail, and we'll get to that in greater detail, and we'll play one of my favorite games on this show, is to kind of go this back and forth of fracturing, but kind of just an introduction to this. It's unfortunate. The citizens taking the leadership out of it, just the citizens of Australia and the US, we both get along so well, and I speak about this all the time, and in other formats. I don't think I've actually sat down and talked about this on the show particularly, but working and previously worked for US, how to put this, having relations and working with people from the US, you have to kind of have that from the top to make the deals between private firms kind of happen as well. You think about it, if Australia and the US were at war with each other, there would be no way in the nine heavens that private citizens would be in communication, because they would have that close knitness, and you know, it kind of comes from the top down, not from the bottom up. You kind of can't have privately people being friendly and having private deals to have the top being at war with each other. It just doesn't work that way. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, the internet continues to be broken. Who did it this time? And if you haven't heard about this news yet, before I've told you, you actually do live under a rock if you haven't heard this news story. We'll tell you all about it. By the way, we'll continue the US v Australian smackdown next hour. By the way, I want to dive into this article that kind of that states why Australia needs the US and that sort of private dealing. So we will get back to this. Don't feel like we're going away here. But coming up right after this break, Beyonce breaking the internet. Again, if you haven't heard this next story, you, my friends, indeed have been living under a rock. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:21. You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for kicking off your weekly routine with a bit of the GLS. Dale Campbell here with you. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. And it's an honor, actually. I'm honored. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Sunday night. Thanks for joining us at the Generic Live Show. Now, Beyonce. We all know Beyonce. I would play some music of her, but then I'm afraid that I'll have to kick up some royalties for a bit of music. So instead of that, I'm going to play this clip. Because every time I get to play that clip, it's amazing. I should say for the record, I will get back to this story. I should say for the record, I have worked all afternoon and I am tired. I don't normally work a Sunday, so that's right. Beyonce proves that she has still got it and has sent Instagram in a spin by setting records. So here's some of the numbers. One of her photos notched 6.33 million likes in less than 8 hours. The post also had 334,000 comments. The previous record holder was Selena Gomez. Excuse me, wow. Burping on microphone today, Dale. Wow, professional. Those Instagram-sponsored posts of herself sipping a Coke last June garnered 6.3 million likes to date and 250,000 comments. Within an hour of Beyonce post going live, it had 2.3 million likes and 166,000 comments. The 20-time Grammy winner, yikes, also burning up Twitter, which reported 500,000 tweets about this particular announcement in the 45 minutes after the Instagram post went up, peaking at 17,000 tweets a minute. Wow. Beyonce and her partner, Sean Carter, also... I like saying it like that because you just... It's just... Yeah, it just doesn't... Yeah. They have a 5-year-old daughter called Blue Ivy. Oh. Have I mentioned the post? All right, let's look at the post. So, the post is of Beyonce. She's looking very pretty with her long brown hair. She's in what can only be described as underwear for this G-rated audience. She's in what appears to be undergarments. How old am I again? I'm like 512, right? Okay, so here we go. She is. She's in just what she's described as undergarments. She is putting her hands on her stomach. She is in what it appears to be a cloth over her head, like a veil thing. She's behind some beautiful flowers. Am I really describing? I'm describing an Instagram photo. an Instagram photo on an audio podcast. What has my life become? Actually, this could be a favorite. This could be a new segment. What is the photo that Dale is describing? It's a pretty lady with long hair. No. So, here we go. We would like to share our love and happiness. We have been blessed two times over. We are incredibly grateful that our family will be growing by two. Aww. And we'd like to thank you for all of your wishes. The Carters. It has, as of 10:28 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on the 5th of February 2017... 9,818,156 likes and 458,544. There you go. Beyonce, tearing it up. See, I was more impressed about the announcement of local sweetheart Zoe Foster Blake and comedian Hamish Blake's announcement. They did a spoof of this and they're expecting baby number two, so that's... that's exciting. They spoofed this, and it was something to behold. So, good on everyone for announcing pregnant, being preggers, and being a fun, spectacular time. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, Pokemon Go has kind of hit a bit of a lull. We'll tell you what things that it needs to do to make a comeback in 2017. What does Pokemon Go need to do in order to be popular again? Make Pokemon Go popular again. That's the tagline of the next segment. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell for a Sunday. It's 10:30. We're here to give you a big dose of genericness. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Just kick off a brand new week. Whether you're... hang on, here's the thing. I've never actually talked about this on the show. I can't believe I've never... for all the time, for the about a year and a half I've been in this time slot, I don't believe I've ever talked about, is it starting a brand new week, or is it ending a brand new week? Actually, no, that wouldn't make sense. Starting a brand new week. You know, finishing something new, because that makes a whole lot of sense, Dale. Starting a brand new week or finishing an old week? Finishing a brand new week. Let us know. Actually, you can send us an email, genericliveshow@gmail.com. There you go. There's the email shout out of the week. I am done. I'm done. Bye. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Finishing a brand new week with the Generic Live Show. So, Pokemon Go. And if you are asking, what is Pokemon Go? Well, you wouldn't be the only one. We have seven things that would vastly improve Pokemon Go to make it popular. This is from Mashable. And this is kind of a review written in first person by Sam Haysom. There you go. One thing, better communication for Pokemon Go users, according to Mashable. This is the one thing that the game needs. As a regular player, nothing frustrates me more than Niantic's lack of communication with their audience. They've improved since the days of Endless Science that accomplished last summer's server issues, but there still is a huge disconnect from their player base, which at times kind of, is a little not great on the social media part. Take January, for example. It's been 6 weeks since the Christmas event was announced. And in the time since, we've heard really not a lot. There's been a vague newsletter bouncing around with a special message from Professor Willow that kind of didn't arrive. And an announcement for major text fixes. And that's about it. Mr. Hasem states that trying not to hold back things as surprises is kind of great, but then we don't really need too much, but it could do more harm than good if you want to hold things as surprises. Second, global gym rankings. There's been a lot of discussion recently about the lack of endgame in Pokemon Go, because once you've caught all the Pokemon available in your region, well, there's not really much to do. Leveling up and striking your Pokemon squad, hitting up your squad, battling gyms, and that's about it of the current solution. But that can only go so far without becoming too repetitive. Taking over a gym only to get booted out again 20 minutes later is very tiring. If there's a bigger picture, rankings show the number of gyms your team controls worldwide. There you go. TM and probably HMs. If there's one thing that Mr. Mashable author, whose name I keep forgetting, has taught him, it's that the game could really do with some TMs. For anyone who doesn't play the original games, TM, or technical machines, are usually single-use items to allow to teach a specific move to one of your Pokemon, and it overrides one of the moves that it already knows. Not only would this cancel out some of the rage associated with finally evolving a stronger monster, only to discover a useless moveset, it would make a hell of a lot more variety in gym battles. Long term, well, who really knows? And incorporating HMs, such as Fly, could be a once a month sort of thing, and jump you in another city around the world for 30 minutes, who knows? But with GC... Hasem speculates, but I don't know if it would do that though, because jumping from one city to another seems a little contradictory, I guess. But anyway, status effects in more sophisticated battles, that would be good. A key part of battles in the original game was status effects such as sleep, paralysis, and poison, and during a non-fight it would require some berries or a trip to the Pokemon Center to cure. While other berries are not available in the active game, but have been discovered in the code. The introduction of Team Rocket, yes! Oh yeah, that would be great. Ideas involving Team Rocket, the ever... present enemies of Ash and Co. of Ash and Company, who pop up in games under a variety of different names. They regularly appear in the Pokemon subreddit. User Ink U Beta suggested Team Rocket should take over gyms during nest migration. For example, others pitched the idea of a Team Rocket themed event. That would be cool. Or just having them pop up randomly. Or, number 6, battling with other players. There you go. That would be hella good if you ask me. Yeah, I just said hella good. Listen to me. Apparently, in a recent Reddit thread discussing a new feature ideas for the game, The possibility of random non-player character battles, especially computer-thrown troll pavers who pop up on the map to give you a chance for a battle. This was rumoured, but never kind of, yeah, never came to light. And number seven, finally, legendary Pokemon. Well, yeah, the introduction of a quest, kind of. Oh.
Choose the iconic vehicles or the unusual ones. They all have a
spot on the generic live show. And I'm closing that immediately. Why did I close that again? Okay, moving on. Tim Tams. They have a spot on the generic live show up next. No. If you want to sponsor the show, yeah, please do. We need it. So, even if you hate the new Tim Tam flavors, Arnott's, of course, still wins. Last week, Arnott's announced a partnership with Sydney-based Messina. Revealing four new Tim Tam flavors. They say, quote, take cues from gelato flavors that have made Messina the darlings of Australia's food scene. I have tried the whole range of these. So here we got Black Forest, a biscuit inspired by ice cream, inspired... What? Okay, what? Hang on. A biscuit inspired by an ice cream, inspired by a cake, which was inspired by a forest. First of all, I don't think that's how Black Forest works. Second of all, that's not how that works. Excuse me. At the end of this token of inspiration lies cherry gel and vanilla buttercream, sandwiched between two biscuits covered in dark chocolate. I was a bit average on the Black Forest ones. I didn't dislike them, but I didn't hate them at the same time. So there you go. The Blaze Black Forest leave a bad taste in your mouth, apparently, according to whoever wrote this article, and they're wrong. Tristan Lutzi tried them. What could have been a rich explosion of ganache, cherry, cream, and chocolate flavors, instead overly sweet and oddly bitter. Actually, yeah, it was a little bit bitter. Next up is coconut and lychee, which is my new favorite thing in the world. Whilst the white chocolate coating and the tropical sounding ingredients of this flavor made it more, it most taste testers' last choice to sample, which is odd. I actually did love the coconut and lychee. These people are smoking the funny things. I did like that. Next up is the salted caramel. I'm not even going to read the rest of what's under the coconut and lychee. Salted caramel and vanilla. The only faint hint of vanilla in the biscuits, admittedly delicious, buttercream, separates it from the existing caramel Tim Tam or from the Zubo's salted caramel Tim Tam. So, yeah, there's already a caramel, then there's a salted caramel, and now there's a caramel and vanilla. Salted caramel vanilla, it tastes like the Zumbo's salted caramel Tim Tam, to be honest. It's a rerun of that. Next up, Choc Mint. It's mint slice in a biscuit. But less than that, it kind of seemed like an after-dinner mint. Yeah, it's basically a mint slice, but in Tim Tam form. The marketing ploy. Here's where the marketing comes in. Oh, it's marketing round. Where's marketing round? Do I have marketing round on my round? No, I just had a school bell. There you go. It's marketing round. Alright, so. Marketing round. Unfortunately, all of the people that news.com.au gave the variety to try over a dozen, none would be compelled to buy the new flavours over the original. Wah, 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 wah. Sad trombone. Do I have a sad trombone? I don't think I do. Do I? Here we go. Here it is. Sad trombone. There you go. What is this proper use of sad trombone effect? What's this?
How's the water, beautiful?
Fine. Just fine.
Hey, you want some body surfing with me?
Oh, I'm no good at body surfing.
Oh, then this must be your lucky day, because I'm a champ at this sport. What's your name?
Kathy.
Well, there's nothing to it, Kathy. It's real simple. First, you put your arms up, cup your hands. Then you start swimming before the wave breaks, and that's it. I really like the way you fill your swimsuit, Kathy.
I do wish I could say the same for y'all.
Oh, pushes him over. Oh, that was well worth it. Okay, that was a side tangent and a half. But so what's this move? Why is it significant for product development? Snore. Arnott's know the risk. Of the Tim Tams released a part of the Zumbo's Just Desserts collection, only a few flavours remained on sale. Their limited edition mocktail-inspired range proved even less successful. Yeah, that's right. I think the espresso martinis are the only one on special. Tim Tams only remains one of Australia's most recognisable and beloved food brands. The esteem does not translate into their sales, however. Didn't really... People said that they'd stick to the original Tim Tams over the new limited edition. At the time when the generic brands over the competitors applying for increased pressure, the new edition backed by an aggressive marketing campaign means increased brand awareness. So there you go. Where have we got? We got a behind the scenes video. Does this have audio on it? Or is it just, why did that stop? Ah, because it's going to play a commercial. It's not playing a commercial at all.
You brush your teeth twice a day, right? Mm-hmm. But 80% of bacteria aren't even on
teeth.
80%? Colgate Total fights bacteria.
Don't do that. Hey!
Cheeks and gums, protecting 100% of your mouth surfaces.
I have a way of muting you. Ha ha!
So finally we're at the Tim Tam Bakery, which is pretty exciting. I think we're going to get to make our own Tim Tam. We're going to taste some of the flavours with the Tim Tam guys. And I think we're going to get to make them. So hang on, let's have a look.
What we normally do, and we've not done it with gelato before, is actually map out the sequencing of the flavour.
We've never done it either.
Yeah. So maybe what we should do is taste a bit of the gelato and actually map out the sequence of the flavour. Another thing that we talk about when we're developing flavours are profiles that we absolutely have to have in the product and things we don't want. So, for example, what I would suggest is that we absolutely hit that adder in a cherry. And we don't want anything that's too, like, lolly, artificial.
That's
like.
Right.
So it's just about listing those few things that we must do versus what we mustn't do. So what we'll do is use this as a footprint to develop the actual Tim Tam product.
I love that we actually get to look at...
We're producing our Tim Tams now, so Grant's going to show us around and see how Tim Tams being made.
Okay, we're producing Tim Tam Mint today, so come out and we'll go for a walk. This is where we mix up the cream. We make all the cream up, the biscuit bases come down, biscuit, bottom biscuit base goes through the machine, the sandwich machine, then the cream goes on, and then the top biscuit.
So like a sandwich kind of thing. No doubt. I don't really like these musical interludes. They get a bit annoying. Where do they... I can't skip forward, but... Yeah, you get the... You get the general idea. They're a bunch on the conveyor belt, and then they go under this waterfall of chocolate to kind of get the even coating on the biscuit. It just falls on perfectly. I'll put this article up on the Facebook page. And then, wow, the Tim Tams get individually picked up and put in the wrapper. And they move on the conveyor belt. Wow, okay. Okay, that's not much. Okay. There's not much... There's not much to that. I didn't know what I was looking at there. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, it's our routine checkup of the Trump Tracker 2017. I do apologize for that ad that popped in too. I didn't mean for that to happen. Anyway, we check the Trump Tracker next. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Whether you're starting off a new week or finishing off a brand new week, it's a pleasure as always. It's 10:52.
Je suis désolé, mais je ne veux pas être empereur. Pas mon affaire. Je ne veux ni conquérir ni diriger personne. Je voudrais aider tout le monde dans la mesure du possible. Juifs, chrétiens, païens, blancs et noirs. Nous voudrions tous nous aider si nous pouvions. Les êtres humains sont ainsi faits. Nous voulons donner le bonheur à notre prochain pour lui donner le malheur. Nous ne voulons pas haïr ni humilier personne.
This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you on a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure as always. Thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine. Now, speaking of routine, it's the Trump Tracker. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. All right, so, want to put this out there. The Trump official stance, according to his 60 pledges he made in the contract with the American voter, not yet ranked, is 47, launched is 6, broken is 1, kept is 6. There you go. With 1,444 days of Trump left in office. It's day 17 at the moment of Mr. Trump's presidency. So since last week, there hasn't really been much that happened. Apart from a broken promise of imposing a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service. On the 28th of January, Trump signed an order, wow, that sentence is sounding familiar, that said he would impose a 5-year ban on lobbying after government service by executive branch officials. This appeared broader than the language in the contract, which said it would apply to White House officials, but actually fails to fulfill his repeated pledge to drain the swamp. There's no reference in the executive order to a ban congressional officials. Ah. The 5-year ban applies only to lobbying one's former agency, not becoming a lobbyist. Ooh. Moreover, Trump's actual weakened some of the language from similar bans of Obama and George W. Bush and a reduced level of transparency. Given that his action in more ways is a step back, the Washington Post has labeled it broken. Wow. Also on the Trump tracker this week, as I move away from my microphone, yay. A promise that is marked as kept, one of his promises that required that for every new federal regulations, at least two existing ones must be eliminated. Not sure how that works, but let's dig in. On January 30th, Trump said that he had signed an executive order making this official policy. Regulatory experts say that it would be impossible to carry out, but for the time being, we'll label it as this promise is kept because he marked that order as signed, so therefore whether it's maintained or not, it's a completely different story. But if it doesn't, it has to kind of be shifted. But that order has been signed, so we'll leave it as that, what it is. And the biggest story, apart from Mr. Trump hanging up on Mr. Turnbull, is to begin the selection process for replacing Justice Anton Scalia from the list of 20 during his campaign. That is kept. On January 24th, Trump told reporters, quote, I'll be making a decision on the Supreme Court justice this week, and he'll be announcing next week, unquote. We'll have to monitor to see if it's a possible list of 20. On January 31st, Trump announced the selection of Neil Gorsuch, one of the names on that official list. Now he has to go through the hearings in the Senate and that sort of thing to kind of see if he gets approved or not. But we will continue to the conversation of the Australia v. Trump next hour, because I do, again, I have that piece that kind of I want to break down on air and kind of get a grasp on and break it down and see if there's much merit to it. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, more on that after the break, but also after the break, Mr. Trump and Mr. Turnbull did butt heads over the relocation of 1,200 refugees, the deal that was made between former President Barack Obama and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Trump finds out about it and doesn't end well. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:59.